A lawsuit against Illinois State University explores the questions, what is sexual harassment? How serious is serious? And how young can you be and still face big consequences? Tom and Heidi Felstead say University High School in Normal wrongly took back admission to their son. As an eighth grader, the boy created a Snapchat alias account solely to convince a girl classmate at Thomas Metcalf School to send him a nude photo. Then he spread around the photo showing her bottom and thigh to five other boys. When word reached Metcalf administrators, they barred the boy from a school trip and a dance. The matter also went to the University Office of Equal Opportunity and Access. A ruling there caused University High School to reverse its admission decision the day before classes began this fall. The suit claims that's out of scale for the offense, is punishing twice, and makes other legal arguments. The Felsteads want their son admitted to U-High. This is a lawsuit that encapsulates a societal moment. Reporter, correspondent Edith Brady Lunny joins us to talk about what's at stake.
There are several things at stake, I think, for this young man who was disinvited to attend University High School. According to his parents, he's losing that valuable freshman year at the lab school, and this also could impact his ability to play the sports that he's supposedly very good at. And then I think also for the lab school, it also puts this moment of related to Me Too in the spotlight for them. And they're going to be judged by some court on how they reacted to all this.
And the university seems to be putting down a marker on zero tolerance, even for someone who's young and not fully formed.
Exactly. I think if this had happened even maybe 5 years ago, there may have been a different, more measured response to it. But all of this happening in the shadow, I think, of the Me Too movement, where we want to, as a society, make a point with young men and young women on how to conduct themselves. And the belief by a lot of schools and educators that you can't start too early to teach kids what's appropriate and not appropriate, and that there could be serious consequences for this.
Is it possible that this will not actually be threshed out directly in court, that other issues will prevent this kind of thing from being considered?
I don't know what, you know, what the judge may look at. The parents of this young man have brought it to the state circuit court for a review of the Illinois State University's decision. So it will very much be up to the judge as to, number one, whether he will even review it.
What are the parents alleging in their legal arguments?
Yeah, the parents are alleging that U-High overstepped its bounds by what they call an expulsion of their son. Now, ISU counters that he was not expelled from U-High, that he actually never started there because they rescinded their invitation. So they are alleging that U-High and ISU have violated the Illinois School Code's rules on expulsion. So that will be the first thing to be settled.
Is Illinois State and U-High bound by the school code?
Well, according to the lawyers for ISU, they are not, because they are a lab school. And secondly, they make that sub-argument that he was not expelled.
Does the acceptance letter give any aid and comfort to either side?
I don't think the acceptance letter will be that much of an issue. What will be an issue is the letter that was sent earlier when the parents were notified in the spring after this incident happened that there could be further consequences, that we are imposing these consequences under the Metcalf School Disciplinary Code, but beware, parents, we're still investigating this, and there could be further consequences.
Doesn't the acceptance letter also say we reserve the right to rescind?
I believe it does, and I think they could fall back on that as well.
Why is U-High not actually fish nor fowl here? Delve into that a little bit more. Why might the school code not apply?
Well, according to what the lawyers for ISU say, they are specifically exempt as a lab school. in the same way that a private school would be exempt from some of the rules under the Illinois School Code. In other words, some schools are allowed to make up their own regulations for admittance and for expulsion. So they believe they are exempt under the Illinois School Code.
Are there procedural questions, too?
I don't know that there'll be procedural questions if you come down on the side of the invitation being rescinded. If you come down on that side of things, then I think it's pretty clear cut that we punished this young man under the initial guidelines at Metcalf, and we told you, don't be surprised if there are further consequences. If you lay that out, it's pretty black and white that ISU and the Metcalf School had the right to come in and say, we want to impose this greater sanction after reviewing the entire scenario.
Aren't the parents also saying that the school administrators didn't handle it the right way, or that the follow-up investigation by ISU looked at things it shouldn't have looked at?
Correct. The parents are alleging that it was an incomplete investigation, and that the investigators relied on hearsay from some school administrators. And they want to go back and have the investigators potentially hear, for example, from the girl and the girl's parents, the alleged victim in this case. The investigators did not speak to her, and her mother initially said she would schedule time to talk with them, but then did not follow up and do that. So they're saying, wait a minute, you don't have all the information to base your decision on.
As in domestic violence cases, does how the victim feel about it matter to the commission of the unapproved conduct?
Right. In this case, the parents of this young man are saying that in order to find him, in essence, guilty of violating the anti-discrimination and anti-harassment code, it has to have been unwelcome conduct to begin with. And they're saying if you talk to this girl, you would find out that it was not necessarily unwelcome conduct. And there was actually a back and forth, albeit at a very adolescent level, between the two.
She certainly wasn't happy to have the photo of her thigh and bare bottom spread around school to five other kids, though.
Exactly. She was not happy with that. But their point is that there was some follow-up emails that they received from the girl's parents that are included in the court filings that say, we feel bad about this. We think the punishment was too severe for your son, and we believe our daughter contributed equally to this situation.
Is sexual harassment something that happens and is defined that way regardless of how the victim comes to feel about it?
Well, I think in this case, the parents are saying, let's make some distinctions between a policy that is written for ISU students and faculty versus children who are in the K through 8 school. Now, the rules are not divided that way. It doesn't say it's not harassment if you are in 8th grade. So they are asking for a clear distinction to be made based on the fact that these were 8th graders that were involved. I think nationally, you know, we've had a discussion about when is a student too young to be considered a person guilty of harassment. I mean, we've had this discussion about 6-year-olds giving another 6-year-old a peck on the cheek and whether or not that was harassment. The U.S. Department of Education gives educators actual guidelines for this.
And what do those guidelines say?
The guidelines say take into account the age and the intent and what the situation was engaging, whether or not this was a case of actual sexual harassment.
Well, obviously, ISU can't really go back and take a second bite at the apple in the middle of this case, but is that an incentive to do that later on?
I think it will probably be at least a source of discussion for ISU in terms of how the policy is applied to younger
schools.
Students.
Update us on what's next in the case.
First, the judge has to decide whether or not this is even the proper venue for the case to be heard. the lawyers for ISU are arguing that only ISU should be sued in this lawsuit.
And not President Larry Dietz and not Principal Andrea Margaret.
Exactly. And then it should be heard in the state's court of claims, which is where if you want to sue a state entity, that's where you go. So first, the judge has to decide if this is even going to be heard at the circuit level. And then he has a preliminary injunction to be heard that was filed by the parents. They want their son to be allowed to start school and go to school while this litigation is pending. And he also has a motion to dismiss filed by the attorneys for ISU. And that will be heard on February the 3rd in McLean County Court.
Meanwhile, what's happening to the son of Tom and Heidi Felstead?
Well, according to what they filed in court, he is being homeschooled, which they allege is a great inconvenience to their family. They have three other children who attend lab schools, and this has upset their family scheduling and with different breaks and so forth for the educational needs of their kids. And he also is not being allowed to play in the sports that could advance him in that venue as well.
Can ISU argue that the lab schools are there as a teaching environment for college students and only incidentally providing an education for younger students?
Well, and that is part of their argument, is that the goal of the lab schools is actually to form people who could go on to become educators. And they are going to make the rules for the conduct that will be allowed there. And it's a strict conduct that they want kids to adhere to. And I'm sure that they're afraid that there could be some slippery slope here, that if we let this particular case go by and allow this student to be admitted, given some of the elements of this situation. This young man didn't just request the photos. He took a few extra steps along the way here. He set up a phony Snapchat account with an alias and then requested the photos. The other, I think, the non-mitigating factor here for him, too, is that he did share those photos after he received them. So when you look at the entire picture here, I'm sure that they're looking at this as a little more complicated than just we exchanged some adolescent-level photographs.
And one that sends a message to college students as well.
Exactly. Yes.
Edith Brady Lunny, thanks so much for updating on this. Keep us posted.
Yeah, we'll do that. Thank you.
You're listening to Sound Ideas on 89.1 and WGLT.org. I'm Charlie Schlenker.